And we're back. It's Food News and Chews Radio. Thank you for joining us on another Saturday. I'm Twitch. That's Chef Jeremy Ashby of Azure. That's Sylvia Lovely. Hello, gang.
Hi, Guy. How are you?
Good.
How are
day. You doing? Twitch.
Doing great. I'm excited about our guest.
Yes, Mr. Dan Wu.
Yeah.
Dan Wu of now officially, I guess we can say, Atomic Ramen.
That's right.
Ooh.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Super cool name.
You know it's official when you have T-shirts and stickers printed, because then you can't back out.
Right? No, it's done.
Yeah. You have product.
There's always like the one that have the misprints on them, and you got to go back and spend the money and reprint. But these look good.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are tight.
These are solid.
Yeah.
So what's the name Atomic behind? Is this kind of is there a retro feel you're trying to do, or is it just kind of a cool theme that you want to play with?
The whole thing that I got into when I was thinking about the name and the theme and the sort of the branding of the business is I wanted to do kind of comic books, science fiction, Godzilla, giant robots, and as soon as I started thinking about all of that stuff, it's like Atomic, it was the mm-hmm. perfect.
So kind of like Asian culture blended in with...
Yeah, exactly. So besides the name and the logo, which has little lightning bolts and little radiation symbols on it, we actually also developed three comic book characters, a team of superheroes to represent
fun.
The brand as well.
Oh, very
so
cool. So it's a concept. More than just a bowl of ramen.
Precisely, yeah.
Yeah.
It started off with just the name, and more now I'm kind of going all in with the idea of it being a superhero-themed restaurant.
Hey, yeah, by the fun. Way, you have a daughter who's how old?
12.
Now, that's probably your right-hand person on this,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
12-year-olds.
Yeah.
Now, do they have, like, cool superpowers, like noodle slurping powers and, like, dumpling crushing powers?
Are you 12?
I didn't quite go in that exact direction. They are... I would love to, if and when I ever have time, to actually develop a comic book behind these three characters. So they kind of live in a world much like ours, except it's plagued by the occasional giant robot attack, alien invasion,
sure.
monsters coming out of the ground. And they're just essentially, they're these three young people, one of them's a robot, who are just kind of food obsessed, pop culture obsessed, and they occasionally have to fight off extinction level events.
And they make great noodles.
Yeah, they eat great noodles.
They eat great noodles. Which, but so, if you don't know, Atomic Ramen is going to be in the barn at the Summit of Fritz Farm, which is being built now. Should be built by September. All the food. So, I mean, there's going to be a crank and boom in there. You're going to be in there.
How many total?
There's a lot.
Six or seven. There's going to be a bar called Whiskey Bear, Crank and Boom, Smithtown Seafood, Pasture by Marksberry Farm. Yeah. Myself and Ilias is doing that.
What's the concept?
The
I mean, is it going to be like? I don't know. Just what is it? It's not sit-down stuff, right?
Yeah, so
is that a common area?
It's a food hall, which is a fancy
hall,
way of
yeah.
saying food court. But instead yeah. of your typical food court with your fast food chains, it's all local restaurants. It's all sort of existing,
yeah.
Popular, really fun brands. You know,
so
like
you go
Marksberry.
Up to the counter.
Exactly. It's counter service, fast casual. You grab your food, and you go yeah. out and sit in the hall. You can take your food into the bar, or you can go get a drink at the bar and bring it back out into the hall.
Communal seating?
Communal
outside?
Seating,
okay.
yeah, lots of beautiful long wooden tables. And if you go with a group of friends, I mean, for me, the perfect way, you know, like if the four of us mm-hmm. went out to eat, you get a gyro, you get a bowl of ramen, you get some fried seafood, I get some ice cream, you know, you get to try all the
yeah.
food.
Are you doing an opening, a big opening?
Yeah, so we're shooting for grand opening around September 9th,
uh-huh.
and we're going to soft open about a week before that.
Wouldn't we love to do that, guys?
Yeah.
I've been ramen addict, so if there's a chance for some ramen,
I'd be your invitation list.
A large population out there, too. When we talk about ramen, this has been a trend that's hit the streets. Probably started by David Chang in New York, Momofuku, probably 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. But this is not like your packaged ramen from home. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I've had my fair share. I mean, even with the mm-hmm. melted American cheese on top, too.
Mm-hmm. And fantastic. A hot dog. I don't know who you think you are.
Right.
Chop a hot dog up in there.
But, Dan, tell me about your style, because, this is, like I said, we want to demystify the fact that this is not the 10-cent pack with
right.
the bouillon stuff you get at home. This is, proper broth cooked overnight, really handmade noodles, mm-hmm. fresh ingredients. Very, very satisfying, earth, soul-touching bowl of food. Right?
Yeah, it's hearty, comfort, non-pretentious food is what it is. You've got your stock that's based in either chicken bones or pork bones. I do mine with both. All kinds of great aromatics in there and a lot of different flavor components if you want to do... My two main styles are going to be shoyu, which is a soy sauce-based style, and then a spicy miso. And then you top it all off with some beautiful proteins, different vegetables. You got to have an egg on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gorgeous looking bowl with lots of different things to taste, and it's just hearty. And it's the kind of thing where at the end of your meal, you've eaten all the food out of it, and then you just lift up your bowl and you slurp that broth down. Yeah,
and you should slurp if you're doing it properly, correct, as you would in Japan.
Like in Japan, yeah.
It's not rude at all. Good,
right?
Because if I'm not mistaken, the slurping actually has a mechanical effect.
Mm-hmm.
Because it aerates the broth to the back of your throat, same way people who do coffee tastings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of these days, I would love to have a slurp contest where we take a little decibel measuring device and put it up to your bowl and see who can slurp the loudest.
Disgustingly awesome. I can't wait.
Right?
I love that idea.
My dream is to go to an actual ramen house in Tokyo and just hear, because people, from what I understand, they don't talk.
Mm-hmm.
They just order their food, and then all you hear is...
Soba. Is there a dish called soba in Japan?
There is, yeah.
I went to a slurping place.
Yeah, it's a buckwheat noodle. It's served hot or cold, but most often it's served as a cold dish. I'm going to have something like it. Except with my ramen noodles, which are made by Lexington Pasta Company. Really terrific product. And then I have a cold ramen that's going to be kind of like a soba, but it's going to have its own toppings, too. Super refreshing for
summer. So you say you're going to do a cold soba, the buckwheat noodle?
Not soba, but a cold ramen.
Yeah. Now, are they making actual alkaline noodles?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So it's got that good texture at the end.
Yes, absolutely.
It holds it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's very important.
And that's the difference between, a spaghetti noodle and an Asian noodle is the alkaline. You could do it at home.
Any soup noodle. I mean,
sure.
Open a can of Campbell's chicken noodle and the noodles are mush. They've been sitting in broth for probably a few years. But that's what alkaline noodles do, is they seize up in the hot liquid and they never turn into mush.
Now, from what I understand, you can do this because I make my own pasta at home.
Yeah.
And if you add a little baking soda to the flour, kind of a makeshift alkaline noodle, right?
Yeah. No, that's how it's done.
Oh, is that how it's done? Okay.
That seems very difficult. I mean, really, that seems hard to do. Is it hard to do?
No, I mean, making pasta, I grew up in an Italian family, so making pasta, making noodles. I've always wanted to learn to make the Asian noodles where you do.
Well, I've made my fair share of pasta, but by hand, that's kind of... I don't know how to do the stretching.
Yeah, that
and splitting. No, that's
if you've ever watched a YouTube video on that. Yeah. I don't know if you can do that. Amazing art.
No, I knew going into this. Here's the thing. I wanted to open a really fun, interesting, fast casual restaurant, and I didn't want to overcomplicate it. I'm keeping the menu pretty small, and I thought about noodles, and I was like, I could fiddle with it and try to make it myself. Or I could leave it up to the experts like Lesme,
Let him do it.
And almost all ramen places in America, they get their noodles from somewhere else.
Who'd you model this after? Is this totally your...
The business? I'd like to think it's fairly original just simply because there's nothing else like it heavily pop culture themed. And one of the things when I was trying to think of a name for the ramen place, I looked up all these top 10 lists all over the country of different ramen places. And 80% of the ramen places in America had a Japanese word in the name of the ramen. And for me, there was a part of me that's also thinking, I'm going to be in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm going to be one of the first ramen places like this in the area. I don't necessarily want that barrier to entry. I want to make things easy for people to be able to walk in and say, I recognize this or this looks good.
There's one other one in town, right?
Ramen, they opened last year.
How about in Louisville?
Not that I'm aware of, or in Cincinnati. Yeah, there are two in Indianapolis, two in Columbus, and at least one in Nashville.
I believe there's one in Berea right now, too, right?
Well, that's Noodle Nirvana.
Yes.
So they do different kinds of noodle bowls. They're not ramen, strictly speaking, but they're terrific.
What I like about this is I do like this is kind of like a... 1960s Art Deco vibe. When you look at like you said, the Godzilla movies, you look at that type of, we were just getting plastics and everything was kind of primary colors.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I love the design.
It screams an Iron Giant to me. It's like a cartoon.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's definitely part of the inspiration. And it to me, you can slap it on the cover of a comic book and it looks like the title.
Let me ask a dumb question. That's my job here.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
What's the difference? Tell me again. You said that's just a noodle shop. This is a ramen noodle shop. What's the difference?
So Noodle Nirvana and Berea, they serve different kinds of noodles. They'll do pad thais. They'll do some ramen and udon things. So they're almost more pan-Asian, where they're kind of dabbling in different types of noodles from Asia.
But are they made of different contents?
Some of them are, yeah. I'm not sure. I know she gets some of her noodles from Lesme as well, but I'm not sure exactly what she uses or what she makes.
But ramen is a specific
kind. But ramen is a specific type of cuisine and a specific type of noodle. If you just say ramen, you're talking about a noodle soup and a hot broth. Now, there are variations where you can use different noodles like udon and somen and soba. And you can do it cold, you can do it with a dipping sauce, there are all these variations. But strictly speaking, if you said just ramen, then it's a hearty sort of...
I just know it from the grocery store where,
yeah,
you know,
and that's entirely different.
Curvy things,
right,
and there's
right.
like a whole wall of them.
Yeah,
but now
it's
a
different ballgame.
Ramen is, like you said, as cheap as 10 cents for the bag, or you can do a $40 bowl of ramen at a high-end restaurant. I mean, so, it lends itself to a lot of variations.
And that
right?
type of noodle is very versatile. I mean, I remember looking back at some of the Zorza menus, and I think we had like a roasted half duck over a tiny shrimp, clam, and ramen noodle pad Thai. So, I mean, just a complete blend mashup of cuisines and styles, but delicious, so to speak, you know. We've had, you know, pho noodles, you know, the rice noodles, you know, with different unusual preparations, like a conch pho.
You gotta be careful how you say that, please.
Conch, yeah.
Yeah, both.
Both are scary,
yeah,
right?
In conjunction,
you're on
yeah.
the verge of being
as the radio
dirty.
Guy, both of those are like, please don't finish those. But it's funny to me because ramen is one of my favorite things, and most people have experienced it like we all have in college. Mm-hmm. But when you elevate it in its proper form, it is really an elevated, very well-balanced, thought-out dish.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, it's a template. It's like a taco. You can nearly do anything with it if you stick to certain flavor profiles, but you could really twist up, do different kinds of toppings, different kinds of garnishes. You can make it spicy or not. You got a lot of play there.
Does it lend itself
to... It's a perfect medium, too, especially if you want to use local. Because,
sure.
I mean, the biggest rule of thumb is, you know, what grows together goes together. Mm-hmm. So any season, any given time, you can snapshot that, and it all fit and work in a bowl of ramen because the noodle's the perfect medium.
Mm-hmm. And we're seeing things like we cross barriers, like, you know, Korean tacos are a thing now.
Yep.
Because it lends itself. The Korean short rib preparation goes great in taco. Do you see that with ramen, like a Mexican bowl of ramen or, you know, a Polish bowl, you know, different styles?
The way that I want to play with it is so the menu is small. I'm going to start off basically with two hot ramens, a cold ramen, and then one special of the week or month that rotates either because of a particular theme or because of, like, what's fresh at the farmer's market. So, for example, around Thanksgiving, I'll do a Thanksgiving ramen. So what I'll do is I'll have turkey on there, but instead of a big roast turkey, I'll probably do confit. So you have pieces of the turkey in there. We'll do green beans in there, but it won't be like southern green beans. We may do like tempura green beans or citron style green beans. You know, so you have a lot of
pumpkin.
Play.
Huh? A little charred pumpkin.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of play there. But in terms of flavor profile, I don't know how crazy you can go. I don't know that I want Chipotle flavored ramen stock. You know, there's certain things that don't quite work. So I have the basis of this great broth and these noodles, and then from there you can kind of play with garnishes and toppings.
As long as you don't do pumpkin spice.
No, never.
As long as there's none. Please
don't worry.
So when I walk up to your counter, what am I going to see? I'm going to see different versions of noodles?
Yes.
Okay.
So we'll have pictures either up on the menu or down below, little samples for you. So when you walk in, and I know a big part of what I'm going to have to do in the beginning especially is a bit of education, is to let people know this is not the packaged ramen. Hear what these words mean. In fact, next to the menu board, we're going to have a big comic book talk bubble that's going to be a glossary of terms because we'll have particular Japanese or Asian words in the menu, in the descriptions, that you're going to want to ask about what is kamaboko, what is nori, what is, you know, chashu, things like that.
So I choose a noodle.
Yeah. So
and then what next? What toppings?
That's it. Well, each bowl is going to have its own topping. So it's not a choose-your-own-adventure type situation. And I thought about that, too. You know, Americans do love the kind of mix and match. But I feel like this cuisine is new enough where
just getting used to the idea
you have
of
to, yeah, and I really like composing a bowl for you. Like, these five things go together well.
Yeah, you know
these
five
things.
Right.
And because, you know, ultimately, you don't want a customer making some selections that don't work together and
then
being unsatisfied with your product.
I can give you stories about that.
Yeah.
So when they come in, though, okay, so just describe one of your dishes.
Sure. So I'll tell you about the Uhura. So that's the name of one of my characters who is named after Uhura from Star Trek. So my sort of standard house bowl is a pork and chicken stock. It's also got in the stock shiitakes and kombu, different vegetables, soy sauce. And then it's topped off with roasted pork loin. It's got a 6.5-minute egg, which is the perfect way to do an egg. It's going to have some menma, which is poached bamboo shoots, a little bit of nori, which is dried seaweeds. It's going to have some scallion on there and a little piece of fish cake called Naruto. And it's a gorgeous looking bowl. You look down at it and it's this nice composition.
Big portion?
Yeah, big old bowl. Uh-huh.
Mm. Wow, I'm sorry. I'm just really hungry now.
Yeah.
I just, like I said, ramen is one of those foods that I crave. Mm-hmm. When I don't know what I want, even if it's, you know, the 10-cent package, I generally want ramen.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. You know, it's always that thing
it's a comfort food.
It really
is.
I've
never had it.
Yeah.
Oh. I had soba in Japan.
Uh-huh.
How?
I slurped.
You went to Japan.
I slurped.
There's no justice.
There's no justice in that. No.
And ketchup, and then she gets to go to Japan.
She went to McDonald's. She went to Japan and ate at McDonald's.
But you know what was really funny? Before I went, I was there for 3 weeks on an internship exchange program or something. Anyway, they asked what I would eat, and I said steak. I didn't want. And I'm actually better.
No, she is
not. Be. I am good now. But then I wouldn't eat anything outside the box.
Hmm.
And so every meal they would bring me these giant steaks. Except they did take me to a soba restaurant.
Did you get a Kobe steak at least?
Oh yeah. I mean,
okay.
They were,
all right.
Yeah,
oh, she was throwing those away.
Yeah.
By the end of the week.
Yeah. I could have packed them away and
well
brought
done,
them
please.
Home.
Yeah. Right. My soul bleeds.
So what do you think of soba? It's good, right?
It was good, and it was, but it was weird to be slurping.
Yeah.
You know, because I was there with a bunch of, like, you know, corporate-type people, and to tell us to slurp is a weird thing. Especially then. It was, 15 years ago?
Sure.
Yeah. And now we've changed. Now we're
slurping. But
slurpers.
It does, as
we
said
we
earlier.
Do all kinds of things.
So the slurping actually aerates the broth.
Yeah,
and
it's
lets
a
you
physical
hit,
reason.
Yeah, back of the tongue and the palate that you would never, so it gives you more flavors. Mm-hmm. You're going to get more out of it. And do it with your coffee. Slurp it.
Yeah.
Give it good like that, and it'll open up the flavor so much more.
Wine works.
It does work with wine.
Like, is that the only thing? Do you have a menu with desserts? Do you have coffee, tea, water?
We're mainly letting Crank and Boom deal with desserts, but the rest of the menu is essentially sort of small eats / appetizer / bar foods, the kind of stuff that you can have a beer in one hand and the food in the other. So something like chicken karaage, which is a Japanese-style fried chicken nuggets.
Mm.
Once you've had it, I mean, it's the best. It's so excellent. We'll have stuff like gyoza, like dumplings and edamame, shrimp in a blanket, shrimp wrapped in wonton skins, deep fried, served with a Thai style, like sweet and spicy sauce. Mm-hmm. Pok pok wings, Thai style wings.
Are they with the fish sauce?
Yeah, so for my pok pok, I start with mei ploy, which is this sweet Thai chili sauce, which is, to me, too sweet by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I cut it with some lime juice, some fish sauce, and some sriracha
to
kind of balance it out.
Now, fish sauce, if you don't know, this is one of those things. By the way, it's Dan Wu, the culinary evangelist, who's opening up Atomic Ramen. It's going to be at the Summit at Fritz Farms. Fish sauce, you basically take a bucket of fish, you dump salt in there, and you wait. Right,
I mean, let it sit on the hot stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, and then
controlled rot.
And then you eventually strain off the fish and use the liquid.
It's like fermentation.
Yep. Oh, there's something going on.
There's
something.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know what the process is. I don't know anybody actually does because it sounds so rancid, but it actually
it's an amazing product though. But it's one of those things that and there's
fish
a reason
sauce.
When you buy it. Yeah, it's a liquid. It looks like a lighter soy sauce.
Don't break the bottle. Don't drop it.
Yeah.
Why?
So
don't drop it.
Why?
The smell.
It stinks to high heaven. Yeah. It's like I mean
like
if you think
fruit
about it.
Like you did one time.
Well,
durian,
it's probably a durian,
that's
but
a different
we did put we did fill up Super Soakers one time with fish sauce at a restaurant.
Oof.
Oh,
and
God. Had ooh.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Wow. It really
people were throwing up.
It's one of the most putrid smells. I mean, not putrid. It's one of those strong smells.
It's funky. Yeah.
Yeah. That
but
you can
but
have.
It adds like this deep, super duper umami to anything.
Hey,
you put
I got to tell a quick news story though. There was an incident in Europe somewhere. I can't remember where, but it showed the picture. You mean like in Ghostbusters, the slime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was an eel truck.
Did
you see that?
Where
the eel truck got in a wreck. And these eels, that's what they do is they spew out this slime. It slimed this truck in front of them.
Oh,
it looks so gross.
I'm hungry now.
Dan, I find weird stuff.
Hey, man, I will go down with some eel ramen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Well, the getting back to the fish sauce, it's a lot of the same premise as using an anchovy or sardine as a seasoning agent in like a dressing or whatever, right?
It reminds me of Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah. Sure.
Process.
Which has sardine, I can't remember, sardines or anchovies.
Anchovies and lemon, really.
Yeah. But
Very strange.
Dan Wu, culinary evangelist. It is called Atomic Ramen. It's going to be at the Summit at Fritz Farms. It's opening September, and we'll obviously have links, and hopefully he'll invite us out there and ply us with ramen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Dan, thanks for coming in, man.
Chopsticks and spoons? Bring your own, or we got them?
Oh, of course we got them. Yeah.
And don't steal them.
There's no BYO chopstick.
We covered stealing things from restaurants last week.
Spoon, it happens. Choose radio.
This is Food News and Chews for Azor Restaurant and Patio, and I'm about to make you very hungry. To make one of Azor's signature dishes, we take fresh cold water lobster and mix it with lots of squeezed lemon juice, triple cream cheese, and a pile of fresh sliced scallions. We cook this mixture delicately in a light, fluffy crepe shell until slightly golden brown on the outside, but still soft, delicate, and warm on the inside. We finish the dish with a sweet and tangy tropical guava sauce made from the ripest South American fruit. Guava has hints of apple, strawberry, and pear flavors. Imagine tasting that combination. I apologize if I made you hungry, but you have to try this award-winning dish. Stop by Azor Restaurant and Patio in the Beaumont Center, and I'll make it up to you with some of the freshest flavors you've ever experienced. While we definitely have worldly inspired cuisine, I guarantee you there's nothing like the local flavors of Kentucky-raised products, which are the guiding light of Azor's menu. Azor Restaurant and Patio is located at 3070 Lakecrest Circle in Beaumont Center off of Harrisburg Road. Check out www.azorrestaurant.com for special events like our Saturday Bluegrass Farmers Market or our Sunday Suppers. Open 6 days a week for lunch and every day for dinner.
It's summer in the bluegrass. Edible Magazine has all the information you need to celebrate like a locavore. Marion Nessel, NYU professor and nationally acclaimed author of Food Politics, takes a look at the local food movement 15 years later. Edible gives you the scoop on local ice cream and summer events and destinations for the whole family. Are you still learning where to find the farmers markets? We have the info and the maps. Be sure to check out the Seed to Feed dinner series in Georgetown, Kentucky. Pick up Edible Louisville and the Bluegrass today at the new Whole Foods at the Summit or any of our other distribution retailers.
Chef Jeremy and Sylvia here for Brasabana. Hey, Chef, what's new for summer at Brasa?
Gosh, we love the core Cuban dishes that Brasabana offers, like our slow-braised fork tender Cuban beef ropa vieja with rice and Cuban black beans, or our signature pork Havana Nueva that's slow-cooked with lots of garlic and citrus, and all the other favorites like Cuban sandwiches with their roasted pork and ham and Swiss cheese and pickle, all on pressed Cuban bread. And don't forget the papa rellenas with a crispy potato ball that's stuffed with ground beef and spices.
And don't forget patio season, too, at Brasa.
Lots of neat things on the patio. Well, our $5 Cuban sandwiches and mojitos on Monday night, that's a no-brainer, like the best deal in town. But we also have Wednesday night all-you-can-eat paella, which is our version of the Spanish saffron rice dish with chorizo sausage, mojo-seared chicken, mussels, shrimp, sweet peas, and peppers. It's not to be missed. So the weekend brunches also are amazing. It's like they have all the core Cuban brunch dishes, but with a Cuban flair.
Oh.
And enjoy all these on the patio when weather permits.
Sounds great to me. Come see us at 841 Lane Allen, just off Harrisburg Road. Brasabana.com, 303-5573.
Today on Kentucky Ale Radio, how to tell if Kentucky Ale is right for you.
If you've ever spoken openly of your love for cornhole, this is your beer. If you've ever had to correct someone looking for Louisville, this is your beer. If you know more than one person with more than one first name, this is your beer. If you know what's in Burgoo, this is your beer. If you know that saying, bless your heart, is a polite way of feeling sorry for someone, this is your beer. And if you've never had a Kentucky ale, well, bless your heart.
Your state, your beer. For the real taste of a real Kentucky beer, make it a Kentucky Ale, the original craft brew of the bluegrass.
Kentucky Ale. Lexington Brewing Company in Lexington, KY. Real Kentuckians drink responsibly.
Chef Jeremy and Sylvia Lovely here for Azor Restaurant and Patio. Hey, Chef, it's summertime. What's new at Azor?
Lexington loves patio season, and Azor is one of the best in the region. From the Bluegrass Farmers Market that sets up on the patio Thursday night and Saturday mornings to our wood-fired pizzas offered Wednesday through Saturday night.
Your food is superb, but besides that, what sets Azor apart?
Well, what we like is the unique neighborhood feel of Azur. Our dining room offers a formality that is appropriate for any fine occasion, or the patio offers a relaxed, casual atmosphere where service is approachable and professional. You know, it's not uncommon to have a black tie meeting going on in the dining room during our $5 burger night on the patio, if that gives you a frame of reference.
And join us for Sunday suppers featuring bourbon fried chicken and bluegrass farmers market for fresh vegetables. Two people for $25.
Check us out at azurrestaurant.com or give us a call at 859-296-1007 for reservations.
Food News and Choose here for Brasabana Restaurant, featuring Cuban cuisine with a Caribbean flair. Chef Miguel Rivas, hailing from the Dominican Republic, will provide you with an exceptional and unique cuisine. Come try plantain chips to start. Followed by a Brasabana signature dish, the award-winning Cuban sandwich, yummy. And don't forget Brasabucks, $1 for every $10 you spend, and double Brasabucks on Mondays. Come see us at 841 Lane Allen or at Brasabana.com or Facebook for updates and information.